Shut up and sit down.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Geek Grills, episode 118. Our podcast.
We're back.
Yes, finally. Sorry. busy holidays, as I explained in my short last week. The Geek Grills podcast is supported primarily by our patrons. Please go today to patreon.com/grills. I'm September, also joined by Linda today.
Hello.
Jen is moving and stuff, so theoretically she will be back next week. Please come back. We miss you. And we're going to be having discussions in the interim. I know I have been playing around with the bumpers and the intros and the outros, and I think we're going to start using Big J stuff permanently, but I forgot to put it in the stream deck. So that's not what you got this time. So, what have you been up to this geeky week, Linda?
Well, Christmas and New Year's. for those of you who join us live, I'm a little bit in a different setup now, so my camera is over here rather than over there, so it's slightly different. For those of you who just listen to us, no real big difference, except my microphone is now suspended above my head. So let's hope that the rig that my husband got me for Christmas doesn't decide to have a fun time and go skydiving. But one thing that I have with me actually is one of my presents. I got it from we had like a white elephant kind of get together. That's the word I'm looking for. I haven't done this in a while, guys. I'm sorry. But my gift was a little plushy Audrey from
the Little Shop of Horrors.
Little Shop of Horrors. So she's kind of grinning at you, and she's very adorable. I like her a lot. So I have her with me now on my desk. So she's my streaming companion.
Aww.
sitting over here with me. It's just been a lot of like family get-togethers and just going all over Georgia. not that far. Our family's pretty close. It's been mostly holidays, and I'm really glad I had a couple days off this week. So that's a good thing for me.
Yeah, days off are nice. We've been going and going and going. I've been recording that. We recorded that other show I put in there, and we had to redo it, do it twice, which is a thing. And we did Christmas, and my son was missing, and now he's not missing, and I'm going to pick him up at the train station tomorrow, which I almost had to cancel because I thought I had to today, but whatever. I got cool presents from the other grills, which I love. Linda crocheted me this beautiful purple shawl. My friend Leanne's like, ooh, ombre. I'm like, what? And apparently it's the style of the gradation of the color. I don't know. It was purple. I'm happy. I got some of the really geeky stuff that I love. My husband really scored this year. He got me these adorable, like, Lego Pokemon things. And I got a Wooper and a Bellsprout. Like, you don't know what's in it until you open the Pokeball, and then you put it together.
They're so cute.
He's like, I figured they would go, you know, on your desk with all your little Harley figs and stuff. And my friend Adam got me the coolest, like, holiday 2018 Harley Quinn fig. And I was super excited. And also in my stocking, I got socks, right? And, yes, I get excited about socks. But they are nerdy socks. I got Agritsuko socks.
Oh, yay!
And they're like Monday through Friday, there's a different pair, and she's got like a different mood. Like Monday's really like, shitty boss, right? And Friday's all like cute Agritsuko with the shiny anime eyes.
Did you see the Christmas special? Oh, it's so cute.
I was thinking about him getting the socks. We like went and looked and checked and decided to watch them. I was like, ooh, special. Oh, speaking of which, it's New Year's Day. Doctor Who's on a little bit. the special. So what else? Oh, so New Year's. So last night, my beer went on tap.
Ooh.
White Raven, and people liked it. People really enjoyed it. I mean, it's definitely different. It's weird. It's got green tea and jasmine in a blonde, but people were loving it. The owner said, it's not going to last long. My friend Brett came in, and he just came running over after trying it because he didn't even know my beer was coming on. He's like, this is my favorite beer they have. I said, well, you should tell them that because it's a really small batch, and if you want it again, you're going to have to get the feedback to make that happen. So I'm so proud of the success with that. I was really nervous.
No, it was really awesome. I saw your pictures on Facebook, and I was like, yay!
I was so happy. And my husband was playing music, and the other couple that's brewing that I've been consulting with them about their brew, they made barbecue, and the brew fed barbecue to everybody for free. And then I filled up a bunch of growlers before we left, and they wouldn't let me pay for any of them, so that was a nice bonus.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are like, I had to get my beer because my son's coming to town and they're closed and he has to be able to try it before they run out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I guess we could probably go on forever with more nerdy things, but
yeah,
I guess we'll do that in the looking forward to later. So now we'll hit the Geek Grapevine. My stream deck isn't loud enough, and I have to turn up all the bumpers. In the meantime, this is from the Charlotte Observer, which is a local paper here, but this incident was in Kentucky, and this is so adorable. So a Krispy Kreme truck started on fire.
The title. Oh, my God. The title of this article.
Right? Krispy Kreme truck fire leaves a donut hole in the hearts of these Kentucky cops. So there's all these pictures where I guess it must have been the police who responded to the incident, and they're like, you can see the burnt up Krispy Kreme truck being put up on a tow truck, and these cops are all like making these sad faces and weeping over the lost donuts. So hooray for them and their good sense of humor. Really adorable. The Lexington Police Department actually tweeted this stuff out.
That's funny.
Oh, adorable.
Man. Yeah.
I mean, whatever. People are going to make fun of you for just eating donuts all the time.
Why not lean into it? Just lean into it.
Lean in. Life gives you donuts, make donut aid. I don't know. So what'd you bring to the table for the nerdy news?
Well, Stranger Things Season 3, their teaser trailer dropped. So we know it'll premiere on July 4th, which, following what they've been doing, it's set in the same time period that it's supposed to be, like, holiday-wise, in the time that it's premiering. So it should be about them doing stuff during July 4th. Like, season one was Christmas, season two was Halloween. So I'm interested to see where it's going. You know, the first two seasons were great. It looks like whatever the big bad is going to be under the mall. So you can have all the 80s all the 80s mall rat things going on. So that should be entertaining. And we'll see where it goes. There wasn't a lot in the teaser trailer, because it's a teaser trailer, obviously, but I'm excited, so I wanted to share.
Cool. I was thinking, I saw a really cool trailer the other day, and now I don't remember. Oh, yeah, I'll talk about that later, because it's also a book thing.
Okay.
Speaking of which, our topic today has been left over because I know I'm being weird. I'm sorry. We were going to talk about this nifty tradition we heard about, and probably all of you have seen it on the internet because it kind of went really viral crazy, about this tradition in it's the Netherlands, Gebokkevloed. So it translates to book flood. And it's like everyone, the Yule book flood. So everyone gives books Christmas Eve. My family tradition, we usually get new jammies, but apparently 90, oh, it's Iceland. Like,
Iceland. Yeah, there it is.
and they read a lot more there than we here do here. Apparently 93% of Icelanders read at least one book a year. America is about 73%.
It's
But they
not
have
bad.
this.
It's a passing grade. It's just not as good.
That's like a C, right?
It's a C. A C is a passing grade by this much.
Yeah. But excuse me. So apparently it originated during World War II when foreign imports were restricted, but paper was still cheap. So they didn't have a year-round publishing industry, and publishers would flood the market new titles right at the end of the year. And so it just became this Christmas Eve tradition. And everybody kind of, it's a really good opportunity, I think, for screens off time, right? Like, spend Christmas Eve. I mean, maybe you're not paying attention to each other, but you're sitting around reading, have your cider. I love this idea. And I don't read enough myself. I've definitely fallen off reading.
I have decided to read all the way back through the Redwall series because one of my friends is starting up a short Redwall like tabletop that I want to that I'm gonna play in. So I was like, I have to reread all these books. I only
Cool.
have 11 of the 21 that are written, but I can go by them.
You can. Yeah, we were gonna do this partly because of the holidays and partly because we're a little late on our book club situation. We never did actually pick a book for it, and that was like months ago. So I guess we'll try to do better and pick a book soon for our next book club. But now we're gonna talk to you about the books we have been reading. Like Linda's been rereading Redwall, and recommendations we have. Jen also wanted to chime in, and she's got one of the exact same recommendations I do, is go to TomMerrittBooks.com. It's TomMerrittBooks.com. And you can find all his books there. I've read several of them, not all of them yet. I loved Pilot X so much. I think I ranted about it on an episode already. That I immediately, when the Kickstarter came out for its sequel, I jumped on that, and I'm anxiously awaiting its arrival. I did just get a Kickstarter, or not Kickstarter, Inkshares. So you can go to Inkshares and pre-order as well. And I highly recommend these. And if you read Pilot X, you will too. I'm almost certain of it. This is the best treatment of time travel I've ever seen, where he doesn't fuck it up. It's really easy to screw up. But he's a really great sci-fi writer. I don't know how he finds time to do it. Podcasting every single day as well. But he's a really excellent writer. Right now, I'm reading Good Omens. I saw the trailer for the series, the TV series they're making out of it is coming out. And I'm really excited about that. And people are like, "Oh, look, look, look," because they know I'm like this huge Gaiman fan. And then I was like, "I have a confession to make. I have never read that book." And my husband was like, "What?" Like it came out in like 1990. There was this like it was when I was moving. It's probably when I missed that issue of Sandman, Three Septembers and a January, that I wrote to Neil Gaiman about, and he was kind enough to write me back. But I was like moving to Florida with just a duffel bag, so it was a tumultuous year, and I somehow just never got around to it. So I'm really excited now. My husband just immediately like opened his phone, went to Amazon and ordered it. He's like, it's on your Kindle now. It's going fast. I'll probably finish it tomorrow. And of course it's wonderful. I mean, it's Neil Gaiman, Terry Pratchett.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what a powerhouse.
Yeah.
The intro was really cute because there's like this, people keep asking what it was like to read it. We were like a couple of guys. None of you knew who we were then. Like, I don't know what you expect us to say. But I, have you seen the meme about how something you love about reading books before you see the movie? And it's this great thing because it's not this pretentious, oh, I'm better. It's just this having the opportunity for the characters to be created in your head. Their voice and the way you visualize, you know, and what a great experience that is before mm-hmm. you see someone else's interpretation. Seeing the trailer first, screwed it up. And the first words, well, I won't say screwed it up, really. They screwed, I couldn't do that with it. I didn't get my own voice because David Tennant, I am so familiar with David Tennant and saw this trailer and he's playing Crawley.
You just heard us. You start reading. There's his voice.
Yeah, it was just, I mean, he must be perfect for it because it jumped out like I didn't even know the characters yet because I hadn't actually read the book. But the moment that character started speaking, I was like, ah, that's the one that's Tennant. And it's the voice in my head now.
You know, you can trick yourself sometimes if you put the picture of, try this everyone at home. If you put a picture of an actor that you're very familiar with, like next to a block of text and you read it, you will immediately in your mind read it in that actor's voice. They did that with pictures of Morgan Freeman with like ridiculous block of text.
Well, it's a good thing I like Tenet, so.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I got that surprise with American Gods because I had read that several times before that show happened. And I wasn't disappointed. I also recommend anything by Richard Bach. He had a strong effect on me early on with Illusions and Jonathan Livingston Seagull, and then I just kept devouring everything he wrote, which I had also done with Ray Bradbury and Edgar Allan Poe at a young age. So I would love to recommend those to anyone who Richard Bach's stuff is kind of, it's like spiritual but not religious, you know, just kind of mind opening allegories. Illusions is like the story of a reluctant messiah. It's a not funny raunchy version of Christopher Moore book, Lamb. That's another one I will highly recommend. Lamb is heretical and hysterical.
Always a good combination.
Yes. And then some of my favorite series are a long, long haul. Those of you who have seen me live and in person or on the internet, and I've got this white streak in my hair, it's very much inspired by the character Polgara, who is from a series of books by Robert Jordan that are called, oh no, wait, by David Edding, sorry, The Belgariad and The Malorian. And they're fantasy books, and I have come to identify with this character after I kept meeting people in my life who would start to call me this character's name. And I didn't know what was going on. The first person to do that was my friend Jericho. And then he tragically was shot to death. And his mom gave me a bunch of his books. And I read these books. And then I got to know that character. And it was this wonderful being able to posthumously see myself through his eyes.
That's very sweet.
And then when I met Rob, he did the same thing one day without knowing. I said something and he said, okay, Paul. And I was like, wow. So says, sometime, I don't know, when did I get this stripe? A year and a half ago or something, I reread those series. And I don't generally reread books, but I have reread The Malorian and The Belgariad both and loved them. And I just was like, this is a place in my life, and I totally am embracing the Polgara in me, and went ahead and dyed this white streak in my hair. The other one I would recommend is another super long haul. I don't know if I'll read it again, but my husband rereads it every couple years, and it's the Wheel of Time series. It's another fantasy series, super, super long. While we were waiting for the last book to come out, the author did a prequel and then died instead of finishing it, which was infuriating. But then Brandon Sanderson got the notes from Robert Jordan's wife and completed the books and the book and did a really good the series and did a really good job. The Wheel of Time is one of those. It's got so many good characters and a really rich, deep world. And I was able to get all of them out of the library when I decided to read them. So that was good. So what do you have to recommend to our friends on the interwebs?
Well, the first one is the series that I'm rereading right now, which is the Redwall series. They're all fairly shortish. I don't think many of them go above about 400 pages. But they are just... The world is delightful. It's, if anybody is familiar with like Mouse Guard, Pugmire, that kind of thing, it's that kind of like just fun fantasy world, but with woodland creatures. And it was part of like the formative kind of books because I started reading that series in middle school. I actually, one of the books I pulled out, I happened to turn and look at the top of it, and stamped on the top was the name of my middle school. I was like, whoops, I must have stolen this. I'm sorry. I must have stolen it from the library. I'm sorry. I don't remember doing it, but I must have because the proof was stamped across the top of the binding. But it's just a really fun series. The author has passed away, so there's not going to be any more in the series. But each one is its own, like, self-contained story. So it's not like the series is never going to get finished. It's just the stories that have been written are now the only stories that will be written, except for, you know, fan fiction. And there's, I believe, 21 books, if I recall correctly. There's 21 books in the series. And I plan on reading all of them eventually. Because there was a point when I got, like, past high school that I stopped reading them. So there are a couple that I actually haven't read in the series. So I'm excited to get to them. But I'm trying to read them in publication date. So I started with Redwall. I've now gone on to Mossflower, which is the next one in the series, and then I'll just keep going from there.
I think I only have one of those books that I bought for one of my kids that was... Because he was really into the animated series?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did... I think it's... Two or three of the books are part of the animated series. Because they obviously did Redwall, and then the next one he published was actually a prequel, and then the next one after that was a sequel to Redwall. So they may have done all three of those as part of the animated series, but I can only remember the first season, which was Redwall. So, and then the next book that I would recommend is my favorite book, which is Black Swan by Mercedes Lackey. I would also recommend her. Is it 500 Kingdoms series? Am I saying that right? Hold on.
Don't know.
Let me make sure I'm saying that right. I know how to podcast.
I know. I'm clicking away on my keyboard, which is another.
Yes, it is 500 Kingdoms series. She's got a few books now in there, but it's basically all of the fairy tales that you kind of know that you were taught as a kid, just turned on their head a little bit, and it's a very interesting world that she has made for this series. They're all sort of interconnected, but they could all also be their own stories. That are all set in this world.
Black Swan, something we were going to try and do for book club, and we couldn't find a source for the book, like, just for the movie, and...
Which is weird, because it's Mercedes, but I know it exists. Anyway. The last one, oddly enough, is A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens, because recently, in our break that we had for the holiday, I did a stream where I finished the War Turtle plushie that I was working on, but I was like, you know what? I'm gonna sit down and it's gonna take as long as it takes to finish this, because streaming has been a struggle for a while. So I found A Christmas Carol on audiobook on YouTube. And I just was like, all right, I'm gonna crochet and I'm gonna hit play.
Yay.
And I listened to an oral version of A Christmas Carol, and it is actually really, really good. It's been a very long time since I've read anything by Charles Dickens. I think the last thing was Great Expectations in high school. But I really enjoyed it. I mean, a lot of the jokes are from, you know, the 1900s, but it's funny. It's insightful, and it's actually one of the classics that I would definitely recommend to read. The audiobook is only about 3 hours, and he's reading at a very nice, sedate pace. So it's just a novella length. Shouldn't take you too long. And if you're having trouble with the proper English that they spoke in that time, just listen to it on audiobook. It's very good.
Do you know who did the voices in the version you listened to?
The voice was...
I'm just curious.
His name started with an L. I can probably find it on YouTube and link it in the notes.
It's only 5 chapters. I'm looking at the wiki for A Christmas Carol.
It's 5, yeah, 5 stanzas is what they're stanzas. Yeah. They called them instead of chapters back then. Because he wrote it to be read aloud, which is very interesting, because the narrator switches to the first person. So he definitely wrote it to be read to an audience, because that was kind of the movies of their day. Is if you had nothing to do, you would go listen to somebody read a book aloud. And there's actually a couple of parts. There's one part in particular where he's like, he was standing as close to them as I am to you, and I am standing behind you in the spirit form. And I'm like, excuse you.
That's creepy.
Yeah. Don't do that.
I saw a little bit of a live Christmas Carol this season. They did a thing in my town, this play, where they're basically walking around town. And you get tickets, and then you follow the actors around from place to place doing the show. It was pretty neat.
That's cool.
And I just got to see like the last scene for free, because I was having a beer at the Red Buffalo, and that's where they ended it. Like, I'll sit down at the table and get the whole Tiny Tim, God bless us, everyone, going on. But it was strange, because I didn't know what was going on. I knew there were auditions, because a friend of mine's son was auditioning for it, but I didn't realize it was an outdoor thing until I was just out hunting Pokemon. And I see, like, the Ghosts of Christmas Past walk by, and I'm like, what? And then these other people in period costume, and I don't understand what's going on. And then there's the guy in his pajamas and nightcaps, you know, and I'm like, oh... And then I got a message from my friend, like, was that you on the corner by the clock tower? I'm like, yeah. She's like, oh, I'm following my son around a rehearsal. I say, oh, I'm catching Pokemon.
Nice. I'm not loitering, I'm just catching Pokemans.
Yeah. And they're doing something really cool and creative. I should get involved. I should get involved in theater again. Because I don't have enough to do. That's a lie.
I was going to say, that it sounded a tiny bit like sarcasm. Just a little sarcasm in there.
Well, I have other ideas that I've been playing around with, too. But, so, yeah, this is going to be a pretty short show. But we're short a person.
We're getting back into it. It's we're short a person. We're getting back into it. It's fine.
And we didn't read as much as we were supposed to, and book club's supposed to be helping us with that, so.
Yes.
We have to try and remember to pick that and announce it. Let's commit to announcing what it's going to be next week for next quarter's book club. How about that?
Okay.
We'll launch this on Jen later after she's done moving.
Oh, great house. How you doing? What book do you want to read?
Now. Tell us now. And remember, folks, you can always chime in. Let us know your favorite books. Make recommendations to us. We'd really appreciate it. You can email us at geekgrills@gmail.com or give us a ring at 508-474-5577. You can also tweet us at geekgrills.
Yes.
So what are you anticipating right now, Linda?
Well, I should be starting up my new streaming series, quote unquote, of my crocheting my coffin. That's going to be Pink Diamond. I've got, like I said, all the patterns. I have behind me all the pink yarn that I could find. I may need more. Probably I'm going to need more. But I'm going to get started on that because I want to get that done before MomoCon. And I'm very sad, I have to mention this, I missed the deadline for getting a table in Artist Alley at MomoCon.
Aww.
So, my other podcast, Glitter Dice, we're going to go and try to host a panel. So that's what we're going to do at MomoCon this year.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah, and I was like, I had like, when I found out, because I thought I had until the end of December. It turns out it was December 1st through the 15th. That was the block of time to turn in your application. And I found out on December 25th. I found out on Christmas as we were coming home. And so I had like a couple of like about 20 minutes of like blue screen of death trying to figure out what I'm going to do. And then I was like, okay, Glitter Dice, let's try and host a panel. And they were like, yes. And I'm like, okay. So it was just like, silver linings, gotta get going and do the thing. So it's still going to be a working convention for me, just not with a table where I'm going to sell crocheted things. So, but that means I'll have more time to work on my Music Plus History podcast.
There you go.
Which that's now the working title is Music Plus History. Because a lot of times music history classes leave out what's going on in the world. And I want that not to be the case.
Yipper. So I'm looking forward to... Well, first I also want to mention this. I'm sorry for all the clickety-clackety in the show today, but I'm getting used to my new keyboard, which is made of bamboo. And I love it, and it's neat, but it's a little louder than the Apple one was, which was dying from drinking too much wine and coffee.
Oops.
I said the sticky zero key is just really annoying. But I'm looking really forward to picking up my son tomorrow. I haven't seen him in far, far too long. He's going to bring an SSD drive to install in my other son's computer because he's been nagging me about storage. And my sewing machine that broke in the middle of my commissions was replaced by my kind mother. I have a heavy-duty sewing machine now. So I was talking to my eldest about would he be interested in having the old one? Or I could just have it for a backup. You know? And he was like, he jumped all over it. He was like, I thought that would be a really cool thing to have. And you know what? That little sewing kit you sent me to school with, I've used up everything in it. And and I'm a little nervous about it. I'm like, really? You work with, like, electricity and soldering. And the sewing machine makes you nervous. He's like, well, it looks like you're about an inch away from ending up with a prison tattoo. I'm like, no. I said, but you know what? It's like any other power tool where it's kind of this intimidating, oh my God, it's fast. I'm going to push the button. And it's going to go, you know, and it's got pokey things on it, but there are fail safes and guards. And once you use it, it's going to be, you'll be not nervous anymore and have the life changing hem your own pants skill. But he's going to come and spend some time, and I'm going to level up his sewing.
Hooray! He'll evolve from Sonomon to Suntronodon or whatever.
Yeah.
He'll be evolved with the sewing skill. That's what I'm trying to say. That was not a good joke. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Yeah, I have to show you. Jen sent me DC Bombshell cards. And these Pokemon patches, and I don't know where she got them, but they're like cloth patches for level 10, 20, 30, 40. I think it looks like they're from Sprint.
Cool.
Yeah. I'm not level 40 yet. But
you're almost there, I think.
I'm at like 38, so I'm more than halfway.
And halfway is 37. For my... Thank you for my little Squirtle and my little tarot card holder. They're both in use right now.
Yay! Yes, coasters and pouch holders. I am the useful gifter. But I like that. I like things I use. Mm-hmm. So remember, folks, you can always watch us record live. Well, almost always. Sorry, we've been slacking, but we have had content out there, and we will be back to weekly once again on Tuesday evenings. We switched the game night and the show night again. So Tuesday evenings, we'll definitely see you next week. Round 8 at 8:30.
Mm-hmm.
If you are a patron, thank you for sticking with us. If you're not yet, please go to patreon.com/grills and join us today.
And you could also leave us a review on any of your iCast. You can leave us a review on any of your podcast catchers. Doing so is free, and they help our rankings, which help people find us, which is amazing. You can also join our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter if you'd like to help spread the word. And also help me talk correctly, I guess.
It's amazing how fast you can just lose the rhythm, right? Like, oh.
Yeah.
So tell folks where people can find you on the internet.
You can also listen to me talk about women in gaming on the Glitter Dice podcast, and you can find me here on Twitch under the name True Noob. That's TRUN00B. As I said, my next set of streams is going to be me working on my crocheted cosplays, the second one I've ever done, the first one being my Sailor Saturn, which I still have, and I'm going to wear at MomoCon.
Yay!
Yay!
I can be reached at 9 of 12 on Twitter and Twitch. You can find the Heresy and Hearsay show on YouTube, and my new show, you got to hear last week if you listen to the Geek Grill stream, is Trust Your Cape. It is a superhero role-playing game podcast. We will be recording another one and doing a full release in a week or two. We are developing a game alongside it, making up our own rules. This will be a free public release to the public game. We are seeking artists. If you want to draw superheroes and get full credit for the online printable versions that we are creating, let me know. Go ahead and tweet at Trust Your Cape or me at 9 of 12. The Jen can be found at The Jen Says on Twitter, streaming on Twitch at twitch.tv/TheJenPlays, and find everything at TheJenSays.com because she owns it. Thanks for listening, everyone. Good game.
GG.
GG.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.